This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here, Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here with Bon Bon tonight.
Yes, sir.
Bon Bon.
Neither sleet or rain or snow will stop us.
Or rain. Or rain.
Or sleet.
Is there sleet out
sleet
there?
Sleet and freezing rain.
Is there sleet and freezing rain
no,
out there?
No, that was just this morning.
Oh.
It closed everything down, though.
Well, that's true.
Except
when I drove in, Tom, there was no sleet or freezing rain. So 5 o'clock in the morning, there was no sleet or freezing rain. So we don't have to worry about that. You just have to come in earlier, though, Tom.
That's right.
You know? See?
That's right.
Anyway, we're here on an open show tonight.
Yes, sir.
This is last week we did data points.
Mm-hmm.
That was great. I really enjoyed Sarah Falal. And the daughter of the millionaire next door, which is a classic financial book. This week we're just doing an open show. So our listeners get to be the guest.
Mm-hmm.
Our listeners get to determine the direction of the conversation tonight. They get to ask the questions and hear what they're interested in. Maybe they're concerned about the stock market. Maybe they're concerned about the new tax law and how that affects them. Maybe they're concerned about their current tax return for 2017 and what they should be doing. Maybe it's estate planning, elder care. Maybe they got a parent that's headed into a nursing home situation. I mean, there's any topic. If it deals with your personal finances, we're here to answer your questions for you and help you as best we can in the short period of time we have to talk to each and every caller. And if you want to call and ask a question, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. If you want to direct the conversation tonight, 410-922-6680, and you can direct the conversation and hear the questions that you want to have answered, the things that are near and dear to your heart, and we're here to answer those for you. You know, Tom, we haven't spent any time in the last few months talking about the annuity salespeople who are pushing and hawking annuities on the radios. Many stations carry these things.
Sure.
And they're trying to act like these are the greatest things since sliced bread.
Right.
And very misleading, incredibly misleading. You know, we're fee-only.
That's right.
Independent advisors.
Mm-hmm.
We can do anything.
Yep.
We can go out and we can say, hey, I see you got some incredible annuity that's fantastic.
Right.
I need that for my clients, and it doesn't matter to me if we use this or this or that or this or go down the street and buy a house and flip it. We don't care. We're independent advisors. We want to find the best for our clients.
Right.
And most of these annuities are, in my opinion, you know, they're very misleading.
Yep.
And the SEC, the Maryland State Securities Commissioner, the FINRA, and the insurance commissioners around the country have been concerned about the way that they're being presented and sold. Unfortunately, they're legally allowed to do what they are, because when you're in the insurance realm, as long as it is an approved product, and there's no way that the states are not going to be able to approve it, you can sell anything you want to anybody, and it's caveat emptor.
Right.
And, you know, I can't tell you how many people come to see us. They have an annuity, and they now regret the fact that they've bought this thing, and now realizing that this wasn't everything that they told me it was going to be.
Right.
How do I get out of it? And the answer is, it's not easy.
Yep.
That's like, it's like the claws of a grizzly bear grabbing a hold of you and ripping your skin off once they get in there, you know?
Well,
and the best thing to do is to avoid them at all costs possible.
Yeah, and given the kind of markets we've had in the last couple of weeks, you know, folks take advantage of fear and greed. And, you know, annuities are known for taking advantage of both of those components that people have.
Yeah, because
the fear, angry components.
They give the fear because they say, oh, it's guaranteed, sort of. And then they get the greed because they imply that you're going to get some incredible rate of return.
Yep.
And both are absolutely misleading. And it's grossly, misleading.
Yep.
Anyway,
we've
got callers here, so let's go talk to them. Robin, Middle River. You're not in the middle of a river. You're in Middle River, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
How are you this evening?
Go ahead, sir.
Great.
Okay, here's the deal. To dispel some rumors about Social Security, a double question. I keep getting information about this thing from a gentleman named Max Rickman, if I can say his name, and he had this committee to preserve it. So the other question is, comments about that, and why hasn't Social Security gained at least 3-4% interest all these years? Like, I think it should be flush with money. Can I give you an example before you answer? It's like if you had your own annuity, which you're not liking, but say you did have an insurance policy and it paid 4% compound interest over the past 35 years, wouldn't you have been better with something like that rather than...
Well, you know, you're bringing up great questions, Rob. You know, first off, the Social Security system has a lot of good positives behind it. I almost hate to say that, but, you know, I do believe that there are a lot of positives about the Social Security Administration. It has helped to prevent a lot of people to be out of poverty into retirement. And in that regard, I give it a lot of credit. The problem is politicians. Politicians have used Social Security as a vote grabber without any economic consideration whatsoever. And that's been the problem with Social Security since day one that Franklin Roosevelt brought it into existence, is that he used it as a political tool. And then every president almost since him has used it, regardless if they're Democratic or Republican, because Richard Nixon was the one that used it for many purposes, such as the inflation index on it, and, you know, and so forth. So, you know, that's a political football. That's a problem I don't like. Social Security's not going anywhere. We print the money. The second part of the equation, though, that you're asking is that the Social Security Administration has this trust fund that they've $3 or $4 trillion that they created over the last 30 years of accumulated money. The problem with that is this. They took the trust fund and they used it to run the government. It's kind of like you having your own 401k with $1 million in it, but you've loaned every nickel of it to yourself, and you say, well, I've got $1 million in my 401k. It's a bizarre, ridiculous thing, and I got a lot of callers and I got to go, but it's a great, great question. Can you hang up on that for Rob there? Because it's a great question he's asking. I wish we had more time to go into that. Dennis on the Eastern Shore, how can we help you?
Yes, sir. I heard you talking the other morning about some kind of change in this tax law regarding employee business expense in Form 2106 for business expense.
They're gone.
Mileage. I've been using it for 30 to 40 years.
Yeah, well, they're all gone now, Dennis. Who do you? What kind of company do you work for? Don't tell me the exact one, but what kind of company do you
work for? A moving company. Now, I go around all over this peninsula covering...
Hey, here's your answer to the question, Dennis, okay? In this new tax law, business owners have gotten a tremendous tax break, and tremendous tax break. The 20% of their income is literally tax-free if they do it right, you know, and you have lost the ability to deduct your employee business expenses on your tax return, period. If you drive your car for business and you try to write it off your personal return, it is not available anymore.
Starting
January 1, 2018.
Mm-hmm.
So for 17, you're good, but for 18, this year on, you no longer can do that. Here's your answer, though, Dennis. You go back to your employer and you say, look, the tax law is eliminated. This is a tax deduction. You've got this incredible benefit you're getting. You need to start giving us employees who are doing work for you and expending our own cost of driving our car or taking clients to lunch or doing whatever that's a business expense that you used to be able to deduct, and say to your employer, you should give me at least a third of the money back as a reimbursement now that I can't deduct it, because that's all you were getting. You were getting a third of it at the most back from the federal government in a tax deduction. So that's the way I would suggest you do it. I've got to run to traffic, but it's a great question, and an accountable plan is the answer to Dennis's problem, and everyone who used to deduct it should now be looking at accountable plans with their employer. Right now, I got to go to traffic. We'll be right back. Money, Riches, and Wealth.
This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate. Many of you listened to our show for years and thought about coming to meet with us. With every financial physical I do, I wish you would not wait any longer. The mistakes I consistently see are frustrating. I make this offer. Just do a financial physical, and we'll do the complete analysis in two meetings, and you get to go home with the full plan to determine if the physical was worth the cost. If not, absolutely no charge. We do not sell products. We are comprehensive advisors. If your personal finances are in good shape and we add no value, then the financial physical is free. Do not wait. Get a second opinion and just do a financial physical. I am confident you are going to experience something unique and change your tax plan, your retirement plan, your investments, and much more. Call 410-823-SAVE, 410-823-SAVE to schedule your physical or go online to DrewTigg.com. That's DrewTigg.com.
All right, we're back. Pure Prairie League. Yep, I know it is. Good job. I got that one.
All right, you got full lines there. That's good.
I got to go. Andy in Arbutus Annuities, how can we help you?
I got a quick question specifically about, I was suckered into a whole life insurance policy a number of years ago.
Yep.
Are there any options to get out of it?
Well, it depends. You tell me what company it was with?
New York.
New York Life?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's not the worst of them all. You know, and depending on how long ago you did it and how much money you paid for it, that's the key. The beauty of at least the New York Life policy is you're probably getting dividends on it, right?
Yes.
Okay, so now that's the key to a whole life policy. If you're going to buy one, and I would recommend that most people avoid them unless they absolutely need it, even though agents sell it to people as if it's the greatest thing that you could ever do with your money. And, you know, a little bit of economic bias there, though, Tom, I think. Anyway, if you have one and it is a dividend policy, there are options. What you should ask for, Andy, is the agent to give you an in-service illustration. Have you owned it more than 7 years?
Yes.
Okay, that's a good thing. So if you've owned it more than 7 years, ask the agent to give you an in-service illustration where using dividends and reducing the face amount of the policy will stay in force, theoretically, if dividends aren't cut, and they probably won't be, that's my guess, and then you never pay another dividend again. So you reduce the you never pay another premium again. Thank you, Tom. Yeah, so you reduce the death benefit, you let the dividends pay for the policy, and you at least keep a good bit of what you've put into it. That's the way I'd work with it, Andy.
Okay.
All right, buddy. Take care. If you need any help, give us a call. We'd be more than happy to figure out how to help you with that. All right? I'm going to Loy?
Loy,
yeah. Loy in Joppa. How you doing?
Good. How about you? I was wondering if you could add on to what my financial advisor was telling me last month. I went in to talk to him about IRAs, and he explained to me. Well, first, let me tell you my age. I'm 18 years old.
Okay.
So I'm just getting into finances and all that.
That's great.
He was explaining to me the difference between a Roth IRA and a regular IRA.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what I do, I'm going to do a self-directed brokerage account along with that. But he wasn't really persuading me in any one particular direction. I was wondering if you could...
How much money did you make last year, Loy?
Last year I made $3,000, but now I'm a co-owner of a business that does $200,000 a year.
Is that net profit or gross?
Gross.
Gross, okay. It's not even a thought process. You do the Roth IRA. That's only logical for last year.
Yep.
For this year, we'd have to have a better idea of what you're going to make, but I would probably bet I would still do a Roth IRA. You know, last year, it's a no-brainer. Your $3,000 is tax-free.
Mm-hmm.
You put that into a traditional IRA, you need a new advisor first, too. You know, keep that in mind, because obviously guy has no tax knowledge whatsoever.
Right.
And that's the key to all financial advising. You have a financial advisor that doesn't have tax knowledge. You got to get rid of them. Don't you agree, Tom?
I agree.
Do you have as firm an opinion as I do?
No, I totally agree.
I understand.
I do. We've got 7 CPAs in the office for a reason.
So, Loy, you do a Roth IRA for 17. For 18, I'm going to guess you're going to do a Roth, but I can't tell you unless I knew exactly how your business is working.
Right.
And you also got this new tax law. You have to be really careful with this business. If you do well, Loy, you know, this new tax law is going to give you a 20% deduction if you do it right, and you got to know how that law works, and you've got to plan it properly.
Yep.
But, you know, that's the best I can say.
Yeah.
Did I convince you?
I believe you did.
All right, buddy.
Yeah, I was in that direction anyway, but you...
Well, you're good. You're better than your advisor.
Right.
Thank you.
Take care. Anyway, no offense to him, whoever it is.
Yeah.
Bonnie
yeah.
in Dundalk, how can I help you?
Hi there. My question is my husband changed from a job where he worked out in, you know, from here, there, and everywhere to a telecommute type position where we had to make a office, you know,
in the home.
One of the bedrooms.
Okay.
Is that still with this new tax law a deduction?
The answer is, I'm assuming your husband telecommuting is still a regular employee for the company he was working with.
Yes. It's a 1090. It's not a 1099 type of.
It's a W-2. He's going to get a W-2 from his employer.
Correct.
The answer is no, unfortunately.
It's not deductible anymore.
It's not beginning 2018. It will be on your last 2017 return under the old tax law, but not under the new laws of 2018 and on. You need to go back to your employer and say to them, I don't get a deduction anymore for my home office. Are you willing to give us some type of employee reimbursement, what's called an accountable plan? That's a word every listener out there should remember, an accountable plan. What that means is I present to you the bills to show you that I'm spending my hard-earned money to keep this home office going. I'm paying the mortgage, I'm paying the property taxes, I'm paying the BG&E bills, I'm keeping the walls of the office together, da-da-da-da-da, and I'm paying $2,000 a year to do this for your benefit.
Mm-hmm.
You should at least give me $250 or $500 a year reimbursement or something like that. All companies should be considering an accountable plan for their employees, especially since companies were the ones that got the biggest tax break under this new tax law. An accountable plan. Every one of my listeners, I want them to remember that word, an accountable plan. Go and talk. You don't want every nickel that you're spending back. Because when you were deducting it on your tax return, you were probably either getting nothing for it, believe it or not. You didn't know it, but you were getting nothing for it. Or you were saving maybe 25% to 30% of what you were spending on it.
Okay.
All right?
Thank you.
All right, Bonnie. You take care. Go beat them up. Go beat your employers up. Tom's going to be beating me up tomorrow, Drew. You ought to put your mouth where your money where your mouth is there. But we do
we
that.
We already have one.
We've been doing it for many years. We're going to, I'm going to put Gene on hold. I got to go to traffic. I can't do that. Chris would give me the evil eye if I took that call. Gene, you're going to have to hold on. We're on an open show, 410-922-6680, if you want to call in. Right now we're going to traffic. We'll be right back. That's an easy one. Grateful Dead. I got that one, too. Two in a row. Going for it. Gold. Anyway. We're here with Bom 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 Vasuda. We're here on an open show, 410-922.
A passionate open show.
410-922-6680 if you want to call. And I got Gene on the line. I'm coming to you in a second, Gene. 410-922-6680 if you want to call in. Lines are open. Gene's the only one I've got, and I'm going to Gene now. Gene, how can we help you?
That was the Young Rascals, by the way.
Yeah, I knew that.
Thanks, Gene.
Was it Young Rascals? No, he's saying that's not right either, Gene. You and I both are bad at music.
Sure, is the Young Rascals.
He said no.
Something like that. All right.
Spencer Davis Group. I never even heard of them.
Give me some lovin'. We've heard that one.
Yeah. All right, a question.
Never
you.
Heard of Steve Winwood either, but go ahead, Gene. Let's
okay.
go.
One of your advertisements, before I get to my question, made me think of the perfect example of capitalism, Valentine's Day.
Yeah, that's true.
Yep. All right, the guy called, your first caller dealt with Social Security. And I think I know where he was going.
I know where he was going, but
he was going with the idea, well, why don't we just keep our money and put it in some kind of Social Security account that we manage ourselves? And I'm thinking, hey, that would have been great from about 1995 to 2007. And then what would have happened in 08 or 09 when it went down 50%? And he panicked and took all the money out and put it in a bank account.
Yeah, but you see, the problem also, Gene, is that Social Security is not a pension plan. Social Security is an insurance program to keep people out of poverty. And if, you know, as I like to tell the story, is if you have three guys graduate high school or college and they all go to work and one makes $25,000 a year for the rest of his life, the next one makes $50,000 a year for the rest of his life, and the last one makes $100,000 a year for the rest of his life, and the $100,000 guy retires and he gets $2,000 a month. You would assume that the $25,000 guy would make $500 a month when he retires, and the $50,000 guy would make $1,000 a month, but that's not true. The $25,000 guy is going to probably get $1,100 a month, and the $50,000 guy is probably going to make $1,400 a month. And because the Social Security system is designed to keep people out of poverty, and those lower income people get a boost out of the amount of money they get out of the Social Security system compared to what I might get.
Unemployment skews it, too, the same way.
That is true. That is exactly true. And and so lots of forms of...
People don't realize that there are a lot of people that get SSDI, which is disability insurance. And you don't have to have worked that long to qualify for that.
5 years.
Yeah.
Five years is all you have to have.
You could
28, you know.
Well, you could start at 18,
yep.
Start earning the quarters, and at age 32... become blind or totally deaf or quadriplegic or whatever, and you can get Social Security for the rest of your life.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I understand what you're saying.
We've been talking about, everybody's been worried about how to fix the Social Security system. Why don't they simply just do exactly what they did in the 1980s, the last time they fixed it?
Yeah.
They just bumped up the years for eligibility.
Right.
You know, and... That's at that time, that solved it for 50 years.
Look, if they, you know, to me, Social Security, you shouldn't be able to collect it until you're 70,
yes.
And you max Social Security at 75,
yes.
And that's the end of the problem. But nobody's going to allow that to happen, you know.
It's not politically acceptable.
But anyway, I got to run, Gene. Good going.
Yep.
Excellent point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because Social Security, when it first started, and for years and years and years and years, used to collect it and die 5 or 6 years later.
Sure.
Nowadays, we're living to 90, and people want to retire it at 60 and 65 years old. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Lee in Towson, how can we help you?
I just have a question about IRAs. I know, in general, you have to keep the money in there for 5 years, if you're over 59 and a half, but you'll get a penalty, right?
Well, no. Not 100% true. You've got it somewhat right, okay? So a Roth IRA has a five-year requirement, and that's from the day your very first Roth IRA was opened. So Roth IRAs came into existence in 1998. Let's say I put $100 in my Roth IRA in 1998, never put another nickel in until 2014. I started to put the max in of $6,500, and all of a sudden... I turned 59 and a half in 2017. I can take every nickel out of my Roth IRA tax-free because I've had it for more than 5 years, my very first one, 1998, and I'm now over 59 and a half years of age. So it's not from each contribution. It's merely from the day your first Roth was established, the five-year rule runs on.
Does that rule also run for the regular IRAs, or is it different?
The regular traditional IRAs, you're talking about the tax-deductible ones?
Right.
The tax-deductible ones are only a 59-and-a-half-year rule. So if I put my first contribution in at 58 and then I turn 59 and a half, I can start withdrawing it and just pay income taxes on the money, but no penalty. There are no five-year rules on the traditional IRA.
Okay, thanks very much.
All right, sir.
And the other thing to clarify, Drew, the five-year rule applies to the earnings piece, right?
The five-year rule only applies to the earnings, and that's a great point. Mm-hmm. And I was going to make it with Lee, but he didn't seem to be too concerned about it.
Right.
So
right.
What Tom's getting to is, let's say I'm Loy. Loy
yeah.
just called in. He's 18.
Mm-hmm.
He's a smart young man.
Yeah.
He's putting money into that Roth
mm-hmm.
IRA,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so forth. And all of a sudden, Loy turns 29. He's been funding his Roth with whatever he can put into it every year.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say he put in $20,000 by the time he's 28. Okay, he put in 20, and let's say grew to 30
mm-hmm.
because he was
mm-hmm.
a smart investor.
Right.
And all of a sudden, he's 28, 29, he gets married. And the year after he gets married, they say, let's buy a house. And he
right.
says, you know, I don't have a lot of money to put a down payment on. And he says, I talked to Tom Bombasuto, and he told me I can get my contributions back out of the Roth IRA without penalty.
Right.
So now it put in 20, it's now worth 30. He can get the 20 back.
Up.
He just can't take that last 10 because that's subject to the 5-year rule and 59 and a half.
Right.
And 59 and a half. So that last 10,
yep.
he has to wait until he turns 59
yep.
and a half.
Exactly.
Except, what's the exception, Tom? He can get it all out, though, because of my illustration, first-time home buyer exception.
Yeah.
He could liquidate his entire Roth IRA, $30,000,
mm-hmm.
get that last 10, 100% tax-free because it's 5 years, and he has an exception. That's the beauty of
mm-hmm.
the Roth IRA.
That's why he needs to do it right
now. That's why he needs to. That's why everyone should be doing a Roth IRA every year,
yeah.
you know?
Yep.
There's another name that you want to remember. We just told our listeners to remember Accountable Plan.
Mm-hmm.
Roth IRA.
Yeah.
Roth IRA.
Get it started.
Roth IRA.
Get it started.
Roth
something.
IRA.
Yeah.
Roth IRA.
Get the clock
Everybody.
Ticking.
Even if you make too much money, you should be doing a Roth IRA. You should learn how to do it. You should get a good tax person to work with
Obviously
you
not
to
that
do
other
a Roth IRA. And a lot of the other people I've seen, you know, that say their financial advisors don't know how to do this, don't know how to do it right, and I'm sure they get a lot of bad news with their accountant. Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
We're on an open show tonight, 410-922-6680. We're headed in the last part of the show. Nobody's on the line, so if you want to direct the conversation in the last quarter hour, 410-922-6680 if you want to call in. And we're going to traffic. We'll be right back. Money, Rich, and Wealth.
This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate. One of the missions of our company is to create a model of the professional advisory firm. We do the radio show to demonstrate what we believe a true professional should be. Your financial advisor should be able to demonstrate the same depth of personal financial knowledge as we do on our radio show. If not, then you need a new advisor. For investments can easily be duplicated, but comprehensive knowledge takes years of learning and experience. We trademarked the financial physical in 1990 and have been building this model for 27 years. If you wonder if we are different, then just do a financial physical and see for yourself. The complete plan is free to you if our comprehensive planning does not prove to be overwhelmingly beneficial. This is how confident we are. Call 410-823-SAVE. That's 410-823-SAVE to learn more. Or go online at DrewTig.com. That's DrewTig.com.
Bob Marley. All right. There we go. Three in a row. What do you think, Tom?
I don't know.
I'm on an open show. That's all I know. I'm going to Robert in Towson. How can I help you, Robert?
I think that's Mongo Jerry, but anyway.
No. Stan Peters.
Big mystery area. For me, how do taxes get paid when someone passes away?
What kind of taxes?
Yeah. Okay. So let's say someone passes away in June, whatever.
Uh-huh.
So they're going to have a tax return for January to June, a regular tax return, right? Then so they pass away, and then the estate is being processed and all of that sort of stuff.
Correct.
And before, then a will, you know, comes in and beneficiaries get whatever is supposed to be done according
now, this
to
for
the
a
will and all that.
Single person, right? You're talking about when a single person passes away, right?
Yeah. Let's say it's it's true. There you go. Single versus married. Mm-hmm.
Well, if it's married,
then passes all to the other person.
The
let's
joint
say,
spouse right. just
yeah.
carries
let's say
the
it's
tax
for the
return.
Surviving spouse.
Right. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. So here's the deal. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. It's pretty straightforward. So a single person dies. Let's say my mother passes away, and she dies in June, like you say. So the income that she made from January to June is all that she's going to pay taxes on, all right? So now all of a sudden from July to December, she, you know, all this money is maybe sitting in an account waiting for the executor to distribute those assets out to the beneficiary. And in the interim, those assets create interest and dividends and maybe rental income and other kinds of income. That money is now going to be taxed on what's called a 1041 estate and trust tax return. Now, the estate and trust tax return is very complicated. It's relatively simple once you learn the gist of it, but to the average person, it's hard to understand. The estate and trust tax return, let's say it's $5,000 is made between July and December. That $5,000 can either be taxed on the 1041 tax return at ridiculously high income tax rates. For example, if it's just $12,000 of income in that estate, it has to pay taxes at the new 37% tax rate. Or the estate can distribute the money out to the beneficiaries, and let's say there are two beneficiaries, so it can distribute $2,500 of that income out to beneficiary one and $2,500 of that income to beneficiary two, and it keeps the same form as the way it came into the estate. So if it's all dividend, it's $2,500 dividend to that one, $2,500 dividend to that one. That's the way it works. I hope that gives you a 101.
And then it gets taxed at their rates.
It gets taxed to them at their income tax rates, and right. they just add it to their income. It's far more complicated than that, but I hope that's a 101 that helps you.
So somebody has to file the return.
If an error was made on the person's, well, either one. Let's say on the a regular, you know, while they were alive.
The person's tax return for the first 6 months. There's an error.
Like, you know, 2 years later, I don't know, the IRS reviews it.
That's a great question, Robert, okay? So let me answer that. That's a great question. So let's say my mother passes away in the first 6 months of the year. I file her tax return, but I make a gross error, and I didn't pick up income from a brokerage account. I didn't even realize it, and a year and a half after it's over, I've closed the estate and everything. A year and a half later, the IRS comes back and says, hey, you made an error on this tax return. Your mother owes $5,555, okay? Now, what can happen in that situation is one of two things. I would go to the IRS and I'd say, well, she died. That was her final tax return, and there's no estate left. And the IRS can say, oh, okay, don't worry about it, which I've had them do. Or they can come back to the executor, me, let's say. I'm the executor for my mother's estate, and I made the mistake, and they can come back to me and say, well, you didn't keep any money in the estate. Well, guess what, Drew? You're the executor. You're the fiduciary. You owe the $5,500, and we're going to collect it against you no matter what. I got to run, but I hope that gives you a 101 on that.
The executor is personally responsible.
Can be held personally responsible. Mm-hmm. That's why you never close an estate out until you're confident you've covered all your bases. I got to run. I got a couple other callers to go to. Bert in Randallstown, how can I help you?
All right, quick question. I have an IRA. I'm currently taking my RMD. My wife is my beneficiary. She's essentially younger than me.
How many?
I die.
How many years younger?
Well, enough that she doesn't have to pay an RMD.
But how much younger is she? Just a couple years?
6 years.
6 years. Okay, go ahead.
All right, so I die, and she's not 70 yet.
Right.
She gets the IRA. She doesn't have to take an RMD until she reaches 70. Is that correct?
Well, she you always, let's say you die in 2018, God forbid, you passed away, but you didn't yet take the RMD. She would still have to take your RMD for 2018.
Right.
She would roll the account over to her own account, and in 2019 no longer have to take an RMD until she turned 70 and a half.
Okay. Now, does the same apply to someone considerably younger? Maybe I'll leave it to another beneficiary.
That's not true. If it's a non-spouse beneficiary, let's say you leave it to your grandson, who's 20, your grandson would have to start withdrawing what's called an inherited IRA, required minimum distribution based on his or her life expectancy, and a 20-year-old would be approximately 65 years, so they'd have to take out 1/65th in the year after you die, which would, in our illustration, would have been 2019. They'd have to take 1/65th, and then in 20, they'd have to take 1/64th, and in 21, 1/63rd, and 22, 1/62nd, and on down the line. I did that pretty well, though, didn't I?
That was good.
Yeah, thank you. And now so does that answer your question, Bert?
Yes.
And so let me teach you something.
Not the answer I want.
Yeah, but let me teach you something real quick about the new tax law, okay? Do you give money to charity, a church, a university, anything of that sort?
Yes.
Now, how much do you give a year? $2,000, $1,000,
$15,000?
$2,000 a year, and it's usually in like a big lump sum to one or two groups? Okay.
To a couple, yeah.
You want to learn about qualified charitable distributions from this day forward. You never want to give cash anymore to those charities. You want to do it from your required minimum distribution every year, and you're going to save yourself a lot of money. Remember that. QCD, I got to run. Qualified charitable distribution.
Third word for the night.
Linda in Hanover, how can I help you?
Hi. I have a college student who received financial aid on a 1099 T.
TUIT. Go ahead.
So I'm trying to figure out how do I account for that. He's a dependent on my taxes.
Do you make under? Do you single or married?
I'm married.
You guys make under $160,000 a year?
No.
You make over $160,000 a year.
Combined, yes.
Oh. Is your child have to pay in income taxes this year?
No, he had no job.
No job. Okay. So do you two make over $180,000 a year?
Yeah.
Well, then there's not going to be a lot of benefit you're going to get from this, unfortunately.
Well, that's okay. I just want to make sure I'm not supposed to be claiming
his financial aid.
No.
He got scholarships, things like that, Linda?
It's a needs, believe it or not, it's a needs based. It's no scholarship, so he just goes to very expensive private college.
Oh, okay. Wow.
I just want to make sure I'm not doing anything wrong, but I don't see that it's coming up on my tax form. I'm doing one of the software packages
for
earnings.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to get any benefit out of it, and there's
no
negative.
You don't have to report it either.
Yeah. All right, Linda.
Yeah.
Good question. I wish I could help you more there. Mm-hmm. And we're out of time, and
already.
It's first night. I've been 3 for 3, in the music. It was unbelievable. Anyway, this is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.